XS, y'all, Fede Huso. What's good? It's your boy, Malumi, YouTube, Tato Rampedi, and welcome to Malumi's Mic. Guys, this is crazy. Just started our first podcast. I'm with the boys. I'm with Laddy 2.0.
What it is?
I'm with Primetime Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
And we decided to start a podcast for you. And we were just live on Instagram literally 5 minutes ago. I was like, Guys, I need a name for a podcast. Whoever comes up with the name will get R1,000. Official Glamour said, why don't you call him Malumi's Mic?
Malumi's Mic.
I said, like, oh, that's beautiful.
Brilliant.
No, but we had another option before.
Yeah, we had another option. Yeah.
Oh, can I need to put this in my mouth?
Yeah. Don't off-ramp.
That was the name.
That was meant to be the name, Don't Off-Ramp.
Yeah.
Yo.
Hey, off-ramp is a fire.
Oh, it kind of fire. When I say Don't Off-Ramp, that's fine. Yeah. Anyway, let's focus.
And it was a play on words with the off-ramp.
Yeah, because ramp.
Anyway. Speak on it.
Today we're speaking about something cool, man. We're talking about life after university. Just to give you guys context, we are all beautiful men.
And definitely.
Oh, sorry.
As you can see.
I'm off ramping. We all went to the University of Pretoria and we studied there. It's actually where we met. So I am an industrial engineer, apparently.
You know, I was in the shower and I was thinking about it. Crazy.
You guys can see what you guys are.
Shit. Can I swear?
I got a weed.
What do? I change people's lives on a daily basis.
What's your degree?
Oh, my degree.
You can't study to change people's lives.
There's no cause for changing people's
lives. I've never heard of it.
I still don't believe I have a degree.
My study commerce, guys. My study studied BCom commerce at the University of Pretoria.
Don't ask me how.
And then Lucas was my mentor.
Yeah, yeah. So I studied industrial engineering.
This thing gave you more of I was studying industrial engineering. Why is got a base, this guy?
Jovo always had a base.
Then I want a base.
The thing is, every time, like when I speak a lot, it gets squeaky.
Are you shy?
Yeah, I'm very shy.
Okay.
But so yeah, I studied industrial engineering. Yeah. Industrial and systems engineering, to be exact.
It makes it sound sexy.
Shit, sexy.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so I'm from Pretoria. Yo?
What do you?
Yeah, you really think you're Pretoria.
So I'm born in Polokwane. Mm-hmm. Went to school in Joburg. Went to school in Pretoria. These brothers are from Pretoria. Mm-hmm. We met in Pretoria. So today we're just here to tell you guys about basically our journey, a lot of things that we learned, a lot of things that went bad, and things we wish we didn't do, as well as just the feeling of just leaving high school, the feeling of leaving university, the feeling of being in university, and the feeling of making money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've touched on all those things. I'm 25 this year. Rich. These guys are like, what? How old are you guys? You guys are dinosaurs.
We're only a year older than you.
Oh, I'm 26. You know what's crazy? It's not even a year. It's a couple of months. It's a couple of months. It's crazy. Yeah, so I want to start. I don't know. I can start.
Where do you want to start? So you want to start
first day university.
Okay, so everything after high school.
Yeah.
So did you know in high school that you wanted to be an engineer?
I didn't know. I was told.
I was told
that you are going to become an engineer.
For real?
What did you want to do?
I wanted to be an accountant.
Ew.
Imagine.
I mean, yeah. I think everybody wanted to be an accountant or something.
Yeah.
Nah, never.
Especially a CA.
I never thought about accounting.
Niggas were making money.
Yeah. Just hold on. So, guys, sorry. This is our first podcast. I just need to give my lady a tip. When you turn your head, you turn with the mic, my boy.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah. And you keep the mic close to your mouth.
Okay. We're learning as we grow.
We're learning as we grow. And the thing is that you guys are going to learn with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another important thing about like life.
You're part of a journey.
You learn as you go.
Yeah. Niggas' legs are touching me, hey?
I'm not touching you.
I'm not touching you. You want me to touch you?
If you guys
want to
see if we're being touched, go to my YouTube channel. Check out the visuals. Because apparently this is touching. And I can't see any touching here. So basically, high school was dope and everything. Went to university. Yo, overwhelming.
Was it?
Thousands of people.
Whoa. Yeah.
The campus is huge.
That aula alone was full when we got there.
You don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
You're lost. You don't know who to speak to. You guys likely got to like...
Wait, when you pulled up, you knew no one?
Yeah, I just knew like maybe like four people. And they were all doing like commerce.
We're not engineering.
Yeah. And I was in res on top of that.
Were you lonely?
No, I had my res brothers.
Okay. Oh, Ghana res is a whole community there.
Bokonot boys.
Nah, I get that.
Didn't you call people sir as they walk past the street?
Mm-mm, manier.
Manier.
Dag manier.
Yes.
Dag manier.
Salut.
I was in res. Literally, they made us walk in lines.
Yeah.
You guys used to see us. They made us wear caps. Once I got sick of my cap.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah. So that was overwhelming.
And if you could like start all over again, like if you had that opportunity, would you still be in res? Did that help?
Definitely.
You?
I feel like I networked so much in res.
Yeah.
Feel like with you guys, because they were day scholars, because they lived in Pretoria, so they like traveled to school and everything.
We didn't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made no sense
to
pay rent while your home is 10 minutes away.
True. So with them, it's like they had their circle, yeah, and then they had their classmates, and then they had like people around. I likely had res friends.
Brothers.
Plus my social circle, plus people around.
Yeah.
So it's like it's easier for me to build bonds with people at rest and people in class. For you guys just building bonds with people in class and people from home.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'd definitely go back to resing if I could go back. Just, I wouldn't go to like a racist one.
We speak on it.
but like that does help. And for a lot of people that are starting university or somebody who's going to start university, and they, if they have the option to live in a res as compared to like outside of campus,
yeah,
it would be ideal for them to live in res just to make connections and friends. Mm.
That's what it helps with.
Yeah.
That's it.
I can imagine that's what it would be most important for. Like, especially when you don't know your way around.
Yeah.
And you also...
I'm so sorry. Your voice is so stunning.
Stunning. Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's immaculate.
God, no, you...
I don't know if the bass setting is up or what.
No, he hit the bass setting. No, that's what I'm doing.
I said, let's go bass. Yeah.
No, but you're right. Continue, my boy.
Let me not serenade you. But anyway, yeah, that is. I think that is important. And that's something that's probably not discussed enough. Yeah. Where it's like, it is important for you to establish relationships, especially because you want to learn new habits when you get to varsity, like studying, actually going to class, because it's easy to be overwhelmed and start doing whatever you want to do because no one is following you. No one's checking a register. No one is keeping tabs. So it's important to have people who have the same mindset and the same focus on Scala. And I think in res, a lot of people have that opportunity.
So it does have some benefits.
Yeah, like even with res, like in Pretoria, like the floor you stay on is based on your degree. So like the commerce niggas are on the second floor, the engineers are on the first floor. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so they group
cool.
you with people that you need to be around. So you literally network so easily.
Yeah.
And introduce to a lot of girls. They went to have
sessions. You guys have bunk beds. No, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but then like at the top, it's your bed. At the bottom, it's your desk.
Oh, you're not sharing a bed, of course.
Yeah. Is that your biggest fear?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I don't know if it's privilege or not, but sharing a space with someone. That's sharing a space with someone. You're in the same room.
That is true. I could never be able to share the same room. Like, I can share the same space.
Yeah.
But not the same room.
Yeah, when the guy farts, now you're smiling.
Yo, nahana. What if I touch the clock?
Yeah.
That was loud.
And next door, the guy didn't wash his shoes. Not my roommate, but next door.
How did you know about next door?
I was friends with Keenan. Keenan Mayer, shout out to Keenan Mayer. He's a huge musician now. He just stayed next door.
Are we doing the name dropping as we go?
If they deserve, deserve to be dropped. check out his music. Check out his music. It's on Apple Music. Good. It's pretty much everywhere. I think it's called The Alchemist. I'm so sorry if I'm wrong. But just search. I'm right, man.
I think Keenan Mayer. Right.
Beautiful stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm off ramping.
Okay, let me.
That's what would have been beautiful about that name.
We're talking about Riz. Yeah. Riz. So now you've decided, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to class.
Yeah. Now you go to class. Mm. Biggest problem is coming from a boys' school. Girls.
One of my distractions.
Likely I was doing engineering, so the goals from engineering really went there.
Do you want to say that?
No, but then that's something. What do you call this?
Perspective?
It's his own opinion.
Yeah. Is it?
And we respect individual opinions.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not that the girls from engineering weren't attractive. There's two of them.
Okay, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
you thought I was saying they won't fly.
No, that's so much better.
Yeah. No, the girls from engineering, beautiful, smart. Nothing more attractive than a girl with a big brain.
Yeah, I get it. We are gondosexuals.
Yeah.
What is that? That's a new one.
Gondosexuals.
If you guys are watching, I need everyone to go to Twitter right now. You're going to tag Primetime Lucas. If you agree with him. I think the English one is sapiosexual.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I want you guys to say hashtag, at Primetime Lucas, hashtag Malomis Mike, I am a nondosexual.
Nondosexual.
No. How do you spell that?
I can't do that.
My Zulu clan is going to help me figure out the spelling thing.
Yeah.
So I think it has a C.
Don't go to Twitter. Just say Lucas. Even me. Hashtag Malomis Podcast.
I'm in Gondo section.
We're going to read to all of them.
Malomis Mike.
Yo, Malomis Mike.
Malomis Mike.
Sorry, guys. I learned the name like 15 minutes ago. Anyway, guys. So now we get into class. We're meeting people, networking. If you're coming from res, they walk you to the classroom and they say, enter there.
They make sure.
And then they fetch you afterwards.
Oh, for real?
That's crazy. A meeting by all across. Katu.
That's crazy.
That is
the first week. Yeah. And then the thing is that, like, you get to meet people, man. You're in class, you're saying, okay, cool, this is a big classroom. Okay, this is a small classroom. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's guys there, there's girls there. Hey, people are taking, why aren't I taking notes? Why aren't I writing down what that guy's writing down? Why is the guy writing for the, what's he writing down?
Yeah. I don't even, like, I've never needed notes in my life.
Yo, guys, Can I tell you guys something? These guys are laughing because they know exactly. Matari would go to school without a bag. No pen, no paper.
Nothing.
No laptop. No glue, no scissors. No plastic.
Not even a flip file.
Not even a charger.
Bro. Yeah.
Like, you know, he's trusting himself.
Man, it's not that. I can't understand how you can take notes.
I actually found myself paying more attention taking notes. It was never about the notes themselves.
It's just an act of listening.
It's just an active act of listening. You, as you're taking notes, you are actually paying attention throughout the whole. If you're studying,
you know, that's very true. But people have a bad habit of taking notes for the sake of taking notes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that I learned very late, probably my final year, is that when the lecturer is speaking, don't just listen and write down. Like, listen to understand what he says.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, Matladi not taking a bag was genius, because when he goes to a class, he's literally just focusing on what the lecturer is saying.
Yes.
And then he's understanding what this person is trying to mean.
That's that is true.
So now when you get to the level where you can listen and maybe make bullet notes, okay, he said as a paragraph. Yeah. You can't say the lecturer is busy saying, well, to find the theory, you're basically writing that to find the theory.
No, don't do that.
You must say, theory, what's this thing?
If you're listening and you haven't started university, listen.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, hey, there. I want to close to your mouth.
But yeah, so that whole taking, like, just find a way to pay attention in class. That's the best you can do for yourself. And even when it comes down to listening, just sitting and listening, if you feel like you're getting bored, sit closer.
Or change your degree.
Damn.
Or switch off your phone. Or switch off. Or stop sitting to the flyers going in the classroom.
It would always be so.
But Matlai, Matlai was first like in engineering with us. And then he changed to commerce. And it's like, yo, come to this class, you might enjoy it. When I get there, this guy's chilling with six girls. They're showing each other TikToks. They're taking Instagram stories, hashtag class, hashtag economics.
Do you remember how wild we actually used to be? Because we used to sit at the corner, like next to the stairs.
Yeah, at the end.
At the end.
When I went to commerce, I did the same thing.
And I never changed, sorry.
And the thing is, we would start off taking notes, but halfway through the lecture, would be doing completely different things. But it was fun, though.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful.
But I won't even lie, dog. I feel for homies who can't go to campus. Imagine first year, you can't go to campus.
Bro, yeah. That's a very important part of...
Yeah. I feel like one thing, and I think if all the people from UP are listening, one thing that we wish we learned, né, was to not go to this place called the Student Center. So for those that aren't from UP, the Student Center is basically where...
Student centerized.
Where people are just studenting the wrong way.
GTSC, Yoko campus.
If you understand this, if you don't get it, forget about it. Or you're going to be hearing a student like...
No. And breathe a bit. And then pull up.
Kitty Hubbly.
I think the first time I spoke Hubbly was at the student center.
Scared. Those things are fair law.
Yeah. Oh, those stuff.
Stuff are fair law.
Not a student center.
No. What? Under the tree? Nah. See the tree in the back there where they used to...
You did the right thing. You didn't go to the student center. Oh. No. So my point is that in university, it's so easy to come up to meet people, né? Like friends and stuff, and just end up chilling. You miss tutorials. You miss class. Just for the sake of listening to my daddy make jokes.
The whole day.
Listening to these girls making jokes.
The whole day.
Smoking Hubbly.
You know that concept that they try to enforce at Tux with Fly UP?
Do that
because and it's a beautiful thing, because if for advice for people that are starting out university, what is very important is the semester mark, and that includes going to lectures.
Yeah, just explain what Fly at UP is so the people that aren't from UP can understand.
So Fly at UP is a concept where it brings to your attention to work hard on your semester mark during the semester, so that you can set yourself up well for your exam. Because if you get into exam with, because at, like university is that half of your mark, your final mark is based on the work that you do in class, your semester work, your semester tests, your assignments, your tutorials, and then the other half is exams. Mm. So those marks are combined 50-50, but you need to set yourself up to get into the exam and get over 40% so you can qualify in to write that exam. And the higher that mark is, the easier it is or it becomes for you to pass the exam, because you don't need a high mark in the exam to make up the 100%
of your final mark. Pressure.
There's not as much pressure. So being in class, showing up to your tutorials, showing up to your practicals, and actually preparing beforehand is very helpful when you're finally doing or writing your exam. And it won't be so hard for somebody to study at the end of the day.
Yeah, but engineering is still tough, eh? You know why? Do you know why I love taking
and pick a battle? Matari is just triggered from because this man just gave the most beautiful advice ever. And then Matari goes, "Yeah, hey, my engineering is so hard, eh?"
You couldn't help but think about it.
Do you know? Do you know why I left engineering?
Yeah, it's so hard. Niggas are working.
So for me to survive, I must work as hard as Lucas.
I remember we did the first semester, and I think that was tough for everybody. Even the homies that were good, when they came there, it was adjusting, whatever, whatever. We move on to the second semester. I'm working. I'm trying. I'm studying when I get home. I'm listening in class. I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And then my best gives me a 39%.
That's crazy.
My literal best. I was like, no.
Not like this.
Do you know what my system for studying when I was going home was?
Yeah.
I had such a regimen. Like I would...
Regimen.
Guys, sorry. I shock these guys every time I use big words.
We've been friends with Lucas for many years. And every time we're chilling, we'll be talking about the weirdest things. And he'll just throw out words like regiment. So we're going to have this thing of word of the podcast. Word of the podcast.
What did you say?
Regiment.
What did you say earlier? What is it?
Aristocracy.
Word of the day is regiment. Continue.
Because we'd have class until 5:30. So you'd leave campus at around 5:30. Not 5:30, like 6. Mm. So you'd leave at 6. I'd get home around 7.
The difference is you getting home early. I'm getting home like 2:08.
Yeah, you getting home quite late. Mm. But then either way, when I get home, the first thing I would just immediately go to sleep.
Your regiment.
Yeah. My regiment, I would go to sleep. I'd go to sleep and sleep 6 hours. From that
you
moment
used to
I landed.
Do that. Yeah.
From the moment I land, I would sleep 6 hours and be up maybe at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. From 2 a.m. or 1 a.m., I'd start studying all the way until the time I need to shower to go to school.
So, how much time is that?
That's at least 4 hours.
But you're not studying when you land at home.
No, I was studying
when I got home.
You're too tired. That was always the reason why I didn't do that.
That's why you changed degrees. You are just at campus. No time for breaks. And you're going to studying. That's not healthy.
That's crazy. So your days would go from 2 a.m. to like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a life.
I did, but I'd have a life on campus.
On campus. Oh.
During the day, I'm having...
Oh, you drink with us. And
yeah. And when I get home, so I sleep and stuff.
This guy was bamboozling us. So we busy chilling on campus, going to class, we're drinking together. We get home, we study tight. This man is sleeping, waking up at 2.
Joe, everybody in the house at home would wake up and find me at the study table, like on the dinner table studying.
Yeah.
Okay, every I guess morning. That's what it takes.
I know you're an impression. I'm going to show my kid episode 1 of Malumis Mike. I'm going to say, when you get to around 16, 17 minutes, listen to what Lucas said. And if I don't see you waking up, if I don't see you study when I wake up, we are boarding school.
I think a part of me, what I want from the podcast is that I want something that's meaningful.
Yeah.
Something that makes sense. Something someone listens to and find value in it.
Yeah.
So if it's keys that needs to be dropped, drop them.
Hey, yeah, man.
Drop them. So I'm following with the mic now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You're doing better.
Yeah, I know. quick learning in a matter of minutes, you're learning.
Yeah. No, I'm a quick learner. I had to do something right.
So what other systems can like people implement to make studying easier or better?
One thing I learned very quickly, because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Bro, university is not a one-man job.
True.
Like, you need to have your social friends, but you also have to have friends that are within your degree that have the same timetable as you.
Yes.
So now if there's an assignment due and you forget something, you know, Lucas will be like, yo, but did you do the SWK tutorial? That's due in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yo, Lucas, time tell me.
Yo, that is, we really did that. Remember how we used to do
2 minutes,
the click up test?
You?
With the NW2.
Hey, don't say too much. You might get our degrees taken away. I'm joking.
No, but like
XR.
It was no. When I say NW2, I mean the studying part of it.
Yeah.
We were there studying at NW2, preparing ourselves for our semester test.
Not semester test. It was like a click up test. It was an online test.
Click up test was what? Was calculus?
Yeah, it was calculus. So we'd have those tests. But then one thing that we took from that, or one thing that helped us through that, was the fact that you have that circle that Tato was talking about, where you have people that are actually doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
That can help you. Because somebody might have studied or understood something better than you do.
Yes.
And they're going to help you or explain it to you better.
No, guys, one thing I loved about Lucas, is that like this guy, he gets concepts quickly. Or maybe he goes home and reads the textbooks and watches videos and then gets the concepts. So now when I was confused, 99% of the time, Lucas would be like, I'd be like, yo, Lucas, bro, what's this thing? And then he'd explain it to me. I'd understand something that takes people 2 days to understand in literally like 30 minutes. Remember?
Yeah.
A lot of the industrial modules.
Even, you remember, we did that with thermodynamics. That's how we got out.
Yeah, you? And capacity, eh?
Yeah.
You had to.
I did a module.
That was a different module
called thermodynamics. I don't even know what the hell was happening. I can't even tell you what I did. But I passed a module called thermodynamics.
That's crazy.
Mechanics.
That's one of my distinctions.
You have a distinction?
In thermodynamics.
Yo. Yeah.
The module was fun. Remember, everyone was saying it was fun. I really enjoyed it because of you.
What's crazy? I was doing it for the second time at the time.
That's
it
was one of those. And after that module three times, it's still not fun. Even at the
time. Oh, that's another thing we need to discuss.
What's the most have you done a module?
Say that again.
How many times have you repeated one module?
Say that again. And then position the mic properly.
Shit.
How many times? It's directional. It's from the top. Yeah.
From the top. Make it drop. That's that.
You are easily distracted.
How many times did you repeat? That's the question I'm asking.
What is the which module did you or how many times have you repeated one module?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know you gave me.
Yeah. I was going to say something before we go into such personal conversations. One thing about university, I think it's very important, is failure.
Yeah.
In the sense that if you fail, you need to be very careful how you look at it.
Yeah.
Like when you fail, feel your emotions that you feel, but it's about what happens after failing. It's about tasting failure and wanting to taste it again.
Yeah.
It's about experiencing failure and understanding with failure comes growth. And then after that failure, you succeed.
Yeah.
So one thing that you might experience in university is a supplementary exam, 999 gang, tux, you understand what I'm talking about.
999.
You're going to fail supplementary, you're going to do a module once, you're going to do a module a second time, you're going to do a module a third time. But what matters is having the will to push through that failure.
Yeah.
Because in life, if you think university is tough, you guys don't know about life and would get into life after university.
So. And university is a practice.
Yeah. Because I've seen many people that flew at UP, flew at university. And then when the smallest failure in life comes, they just...
You can't react.
Give me a word. Give me an English word.
They dismantle. The spot. Yeah.
They dismantle.
Dismantle.
I'm going to come for the word. I'm coming for the word of the podcast.
Next episode. A regimen is going to be hard to find.
I'm going to read the dictionary. So my point is,
boys.
My point is, failures, it's okay. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You might fail a module. If you like, you'll just fail a semester test or a class test. Hopefully, we just end it there. But if you fail a module, it's really okay.
Very okay.
Because my degree, industrial engineering, is a 4-year degree. I did the 5-year program, the extended program. Basically, for the first 2 years, every module you do, there's an additional module. So if you're doing mathematics, there's additional mathematics. If you're doing physics, there's additional physics to try to help you understand what the main physics is doing, but you must still pass both of them to move. I did my degree in 6 years. So I added a year.
Yeah.
Started off with computer engineering. I moved to mechanical engineering. I then moved to industrial engineering.
Switcheroo.
So during those switcheroo and all that failure, I changed to industrial and it took me 6 years. I did a module called drawing 3 times.
What is it?
I did drawing 3 times. What's that module that also dribbled me? Yeah, I had a computer called industrial.
Ben. Industrial analysis.
I think it's my major.
Yeah, it definitely was your major.
I did my major the first time.
The first message,
I said, oh no, dropped it. the second time I did it, I was like, okay, this is working. Then I did a big oopsie, like the semester mark thing. I was like, okay, cool. I passed my semester mark stuff from last year. So I'm just going to resubmit the stuff that I did last year.
Yeah.
The second time, because it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't see login.
Oh.
So you cheated. You assumed that I cheated. I explained to him, like, no, I used my stuff from last year. He's like, this is not last year. This is this year.
But it's
true. But why is it a problem?
I don't understand why that's a problem.
He's basically, he's like, you're not working. You're not getting the muscle memory for this module.
Okay, I understand.
And you're doing it for the second time. So why are you using this from last year? then I did it the third time because of that. So my point is, I just told you about the modules 3 times.
There's some have done twice. Some have done 4. People have done 4. I've seen people repeat something 4
times. My point is now, you guys know me, I started on Biddy. You guys see the YouTube. You guys know me as an industrial engineer. And you don't even ask me about how many times I failed the module. Because at the end of the day, because I worked through all that failure, I still became the person I am today. Yeah. And the person I am today, I'm very proud of who I am. Like, when it comes to the way I carry myself, the way I deal with failure, the way I deal with problems. My problem solving is insane because I failed so much. When I get problems, I literally know how to solve it.
Yeah.
Like, we had a friend, especially a YouTuber, Solomon Laka. She's going to Cape Town tomorrow. She's been trying, this is actually a very small example. She's been trying to book a flight for the past 2 days.
Yeah.
When she thinks about it, it gives her the most anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, you need to be able to see a problem, look at it, and deal with it, because you know if you don't deal with this problem, how it's going to take over your day.
Yeah.
You how it's problem. Going to make you feel.
That anxiety extends.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, and then to touch more on that, right? I think a lot of people, and failure, the thing about failure is that people need to separate themselves when it comes to fault and responsibility. Failure might not be your fault because there might be certain circumstances
You can't control.
You can't control that lead to failure. Mm. People look at failure as their fault and they blame themselves and beat themselves up about it and then go into a dark space and you can't come out from that. Now you are failing other modules that you didn't have any reason to fail.
Yeah.
Fault, no one is ever going to point at you and say, oh my God, it's your fault that you failed, or it's your fault that you fell sick and you couldn't write something and now you have to sick it. However, what you have is responsibility, and your responsibility of how you get back after that failure. It's your responsibility to look after like that situation and make sure and mend it properly so that you can move forward. So if you fail a module, think to yourself, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. How did we get here? What should I fix moving forward? Because yes, and accept it and say, okay, I failed it, it's done. But now I need to focus on the modules that I still can pass. Mm-hmm. I can do this next year. Make a plan. What's your responsibility is to make a plan of next year. I'm going to do it. NT semester. I'm going to do it summer school. I'm not going to just drop it. Sometimes you have to fail strategically.
Yes.
Like
I'm
a believer.
You need to fail strategically. I remember what my final year project, right? The first semester was very confusing. Like we had to write a distance. So my final year project in engineering, what happens is that at the end of your 4 years, five or six, whatever. At the end of that course, just before you get your degree, you need to write a mini dissertation. And your mini dissertation is basically a project that needs to indicate that you can use all the tools and techniques that they have taught you to solve a real world problem. So I had to write this dissertation. It's a year long module, but split in two semesters. So I had to write this dissertation, and I was writing it, busy with it. And I was going in so many different directions because I was confused. It was very hard to find a project because they don't give you projects. You have to actually go into the real world and see a problem and find and use the tools that you have to solve.
But some people got given a problem.
Not going to talk about that. But anyway.
Not project.
Let's not digress.
There was no need.
Let me not digress.
I digress.
Anyway, yeah. So it was very confusing, this project. Like you would see a situation and try to use certain techniques, they wouldn't work. You would try to make a proposal, it wouldn't work. You would go down this path, realize that you've went down the wrong rabbit hole, and you'd come back, and it was very frustrating. And you're doing this while you're doing your other modules. So I was busy with this, and I could see that I'm having a difficult time trying to figure this thing out. But what I did was that I knew that I wouldn't pass that module easily because I need to find myself so that whatever I'm doing in the second semester is a continuation of that and it needs to be solid. So I worked, I remember working, scratch, deleting work I'd done for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that moment.
I deleted work I'd been doing for 3 weeks for my final submission and started my project from scratch in 3 nights. I knew I would not pass that module. All I wanted was a sub so I can finish that proposal properly. So I made just enough. I wrote just enough so that I would just make it into a sub. And then just after that happened, I gave my, you know, between the time when you get a sub and when you need to submit your sub report, gives me enough time to actually polish it well enough for me to work the next semester. That's failing strategically. So you can do that with module. An example of. You can do that with other modules and say, you know what, I'll go for a sub because I know I failed both semester tests. That's okay.
But you guys sound very smart, hey? As I'm listening to you guys speak, it's just wow.
Nigga, I haven't.
I like the way you look at me.
We have BA degrees.
No, yeah. No, the thing is, when I see you guys, I see Popeyes.
You see me punching the Hennessy. You see me put Jägermeister in your mouth.
Randomly.
That is, I'm like, crazy. Hey, Jägermeister, time. Shut up, clock.
Hello. It's always nice to watch niggas who actually passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what also helps a lot. If you're going to do something, at least try to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Try to wake up and say, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. Be present. Be mindful. Yo,
now let's go into something very hectic, guys. After failure comes success.
Yeah.
You graduate. Upasite, you get your marks. Yippee, yippee, ooh. December comes. Upasite, tell your family. And you don't really feel it until graduation comes.
Before that?
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Yeah, are you saying before you get the marks?
No, before you finish, you know what? You need to start looking for work.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get into that.
We're gonna reverse to that one. But I just want to tell you guys, after failure comes a success, you get your marks, everything happens. Then you just get this feeling of, what now?
But now, what's next?
And you literally forget about all the hard work you've done. You forget about all the success that's coming, just in a state of like, yo,
what's next?
What's gonna happen now?
I can imagine how that can be so scary.
It is very scary. I'm pretty sure you don't have to imagine, bro.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
You've lived through it.
Think back. Think back to the time where you're in your second semester, you're applying for jobs, you're getting rejection, you're getting rejection, you're getting rejection.
And those rejections come
rejection.
Let me tell you
flooding.
Yeah. Let me tell you an anecdote.
Ooh.
What?
Anecdote.
An anecdote. Teaching me English.
You know what that is? You know what that is? One person must
explain it. I think now
because I'm not too sure.
Oh my God, you used the word you're not too sure about.
Explaining something using a personal story. It was in English, man.
Yeah.
Grade 12.
Yeah, no, no.
What is it? I'm going to use that word. What is
anecdote? Anecdote.
Anecdote.
Something that's... Yeah, I hope I'm
like, Papa, you know, let me just actually give you just an anecdote. So... Sorry, as you. Let me know.
I'm using a personal story.
Yeah.
So me, third year, but I'm doing the working from home thing because COVID. Mm-hmm. It's time to apply for jobs. I remember I had a spreadsheet because I realized very early on that I needed to manage what's going on.
Yeah.
So I know... The numbers. I applied for over 60 jobs. First of all.
Scary.
Crazy.
I have 55 rejections. 55 rejections. I remember.
I was going to say, one really bad trait that we have is that this nigga was like, I can imagine how that feels. Because this is so triggered that he's erased it from his mind. And then I triggered it and he's like, oh shit. I'm feeling it. Quick to forget.
Yeah. Where was
60 jobs, 55 said no. I'm not going to forget that.
No. And some of them are very impressive. I remember EY.
Mm. Yeah.
EY, you apply. It takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you press submit. Yar, reject.
Yo, what in the click-up test is that?
I'm like, oh, no. It's because I'm black.
The machine doesn't know.
Nah, I give those details in.
That's your problem when you read my daddy my honey. But ain't no Caucasian.
Nah, but I think it was just the performance thing. My average was very average.
Okay. That is kind of funny.
So I remember, and you go home and then they're asking, how do you feel? And then you can never say I'm not good because you don't want to explain what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just... You can't deal with rejection, especially when things have went your way thus far.
Yeah.
All these guys are saying no. All these guys are saying no, 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 no. Hey, well, what a time.
My boy had a story for you guys. And as he's talking about his story, he's just like, whoa.
No, yeah,
we're getting showered by emotions.
By exhaustion.
I think I saw a teardrop.
I did the AVI thing. That's where Lucas worked at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in my head, because I'm a strong believer that you need to... Your manifest. You need to visualize certain things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, Lucas, AVI. Yes, AVI there. And then I don't even have to worry about transport because my homie's going there.
Yeah.
I already even had a plan. I had a plan. I was like, yo, my mom drops me off at your house at 6 and then we get to Kempton Park.
Yeah.
They said no immediately. Can you understand? I've been manifesting this for a semester straight.
Now
I'm not in control anymore. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But the long and the short is, you just need one person to say yes.
Yeah.
And I've always believed in that. If someone says yes and they give you a chance,
you know, one thing that we've always said was, give me an opportunity. Give me an interview.
Yes. Let me speak to you.
Let me sell myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I can, like, and any advice I can give anybody looking for work, learn how to sell yourself.
Hey, the work chat is a different podcast.
Learn how to sell yourself. No, like I'm just saying, because out of varsity, like when you've almost done, like I had mentioned earlier, that you start looking for work before you even finished, because what next becomes a question and it knocks at your door every time you get closer to the end of the year. You can't even celebrate your degree because, hey, it's your spot.
But imagine finishing your degree. You haven't applied for work. You've been celebrating. You're like, oh shit. Everyone's going to work in 3 weeks.
A lot of people in varsity get work before they even finish.
You have to.
Bro, and you know, if it wasn't for me seeing Lucas apply from January, I wasn't going to apply, bro. And you remember, I applied everywhere too. For me, it wasn't 60. I think I applied to maybe, let's say, 20.
Yeah. No, but remember, you had an option. You knew what you were going to do.
Wait.
You knew you were going to do YouTube.
Like there was an opportunity.
Yeah, but the thing is that I had to have a backup and I had to.
Yeah,
but also that opportunity came late in the year.
Yeah.
I started applying in March. So my thought is, I don't know how you got to 60. I got to 20. 19 said no. I said, you know what? Screw all of this. Like, I'll see Kopele because, whoa, yeah, it's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then I remember F&B said yes. And then I went through like the grad thing, the application process, bro. Yeah. They interview you.
Yeah.
Rounds and rounds.
Tests. They make you do so many tests, cognitive tests, what tests, meetings, interviews, meeting head of department, seeing where you'll fit best.
Mm.
They'll take you through a 6-month thing and then they'll still say no.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
like, you'll go through like maybe like 5 to 6 months. You get to the final stage, boy. You see people being kicked out. I'm like, I'm still good.
Yeah.
There's maybe like 15 of you left.
Mm-hmm.
They take two.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what's crazy with these type of F&B or EYs, especially in internship? They will take 20, 40 of you guys. They take that too.
Yeah.
So you will work for a year and then after a year not have a plan.
Yeah, that's the graduate programs are also another thing, because you work 2 years and then they say, no, we don't have any room for you just after that.
When they make you a job offer, try to make it as permanent as possible.
Yeah. As quickly
even
as
if it's less money, because
it's a different ball game.
You don't want to get an income and not get an income. That's worse.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I just want to.
It's scary.
I might have to fucking edit this part now. I want us to speak about life after university now, because we've been ovulating for a while.
Yeah.
And I want us to at least also speak maybe like 15 more minutes, or half the time we spoke about life before university. So now we can move to
Into after university.
Yeah, three.
Transitioning.
Two.
You lead.
Okay. One. Yeah, man. Hey, crazy. So, my daddy's 60.
She's in the middle of my head. Hey, nah, I need to find that spreadsheet. I still have it.
Yeah. Hey, Mara, the whole thing of learning how to accept failure, it grows with you.
Yeah.
You need to take it throughout your whole life.
I think my biggest strength is my ability to deal with failure.
Resilience.
Yeah. Nothing else.
That is resilience.
Yeah. So then now, obviously, we've applied during the year. Matari eventually, that one said yes.
Yeah.
Now he has a car. I'm sure this podcast in his apartment. Lucas also applied to many places, went to physical interviews. They said yes. Yes. He has a car. He has a place. My point is that, like, now after all that failure and everything, you go into the work life.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what? I'm going to earn 20K before tax? Okay, after tax, I'm going to get like 17, 18? That's crazy. That's so exciting. That gosh. Exciting. You're living at home, okay, cool. You know, you're contributing a bit for the first 6 months, living at home, everything is cool. You know, you got cash, buying you clothes, buying shoes. Then you realize that, okay, cool, no, I have to leave home. You're going out. Guys, can I please, Lucas. When Lucas started working, we were all still students.
Poor students.
My man was coming to visit us in the latest clothes.
Cologne.
I swear, Nike would drop something and Lucas would copy. Lucas was started wearing satchels.
North Face.
Caps. Hey. Had a matching satchel and a matching cap.
I remember when Zara had a Sehu. He was the only one that was active. Oh, you were active too.
Nope, I've never bought cologne from Zara.
Not cologne, clothes. But you know what? I didn't get to enjoy like my first year being at home a lot. Yeah. And I did enjoy it. I won't
cap.
Lie. No. Hear me out.
He put cigars.
Hear me out. It was the pandemic.
Was it
my
your first year?
My first year working was a pandemic. Yeah. I finished 2019. 2020, immediately March, pandemic.
Emma, you did a lot before March then.
Nah, I did.
Yeah, whoa. All of that happened before March.
I did all of that before my 3 months. All I needed was 3 months. But anyway, that amount, I think my mother was the one person that told me this. She said to me, you've worked hard. For 5 years, you've been pushing and grinding, working your ass off for this moment.
Mm.
Do not take that away from yourself. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Enjoy your money. Indulge in everything that you've always wished to have. Buy the clothes that you've always wanted.
And you bought them.
I did. Go out with your friends. Enjoy the money. Buy whatever you want to buy. If you want to buy sparklers, buy sparklers.
What sparklers?
Oh, the one that comes with the Hennessy.
I
don't want to tell anyone to go buy Hennessy. But anyway, enjoy your hard work. Like,
Be responsible while you enjoy it too.
Yeah, be responsible, definitely. But don't deny yourself that opportunity. You worked hard. You know how hard it was for you to get where you got. And you know what? It's not a crime for you to enjoy what you have worked hard for.
Yeah. How do you balance that out? How do you say, okay, I earned this much, your 20K, 30K. And then how do you say, I'm going to spend this on me? Like, how much do you justify for yourself?
I'm going to answer that now. But you know, my biggest problem was when I started working. I was like seeing people starting working. I saw Lucas, for example. Lucas wasn't bad though. Lucas was spending money. And then you see other people spending money.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing was like, yo, bro, this money that I make, I'm not going to touch it. Like, you guys saw me for the first.
Yeah.
For the first.
You used to live poor. Yeah. And you had money.
Bro.
Oh, I was getting brand deals. Yeah. A lot of them. Yeah. But my point is, I was like, yo, bro,
YouTube.
I can't spend this cash. Like, I want to see my bank balance be large.
Yeah.
Then I realized that I was overworking myself and
it
not
took you a while.
And not like congratulating myself.
Yeah.
And then I got to a point where I was like, hey man, I chat things, no. But I was like, no, man, let me live the life I want to live.
Yeah.
And then I went off.
And he's been gone since.
No, man, I went off.
He's on a tour right now.
But on a wait.
I was off. I was spending. But one thing I always made sure was my proportions.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I was earning 100 rand, I'd go off with 20. I still pay the other 15 for this, invest in the company, buy these shares, do this. But then, likely the 20 was still very comfortable for me to spend on myself.
Yeah.
So my point is what Lucas and you are saying. You need to understand how much you earn. You need to understand what's the primary expenses.
Yeah, save, boys. Mm.
You need to save primary expenses. Okay, cool. Primary fix, same thing. Okay, what are the variable ones? Mm. Airtime can be 100 rand. It can go to 1,000 rand this month. You have to understand. Mm. Then, how much do I save? Then it's what's my disposable income.
Yeah. What's left?
Don't ever confuse your disposable income and what you have to save in one place. What you have to save from the first month, you make what you have to save a fixed expense. That money, you forget about it.
Forget about it.
If you earn 10K, I need you to be putting away 1.5.
That's what you
and you're going to live poor for a while, but the 1.5 is going to help you buy a new TV, a couch, when you get to your first apartment. It's how you buy the microwave. It's how you buy the washing machines.
Definitely.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, on that, right, I remember when before I left varsity, like, you know, when the prospect, when you're looking at, oh my God, I'm going to start working. I'm going to start doing this. And you think to yourself, yo, I'm going to start earning money. How do I manage this money?
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, the beauty of the day and age we live in, it's the age of information.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to know, you can search online and you will find that information.
And if you hate reading, open up YouTube. Bro.
YouTube. That's what I did.
Everything's on YouTube.
There are so many concepts that would suit you or your taste or your character for budgeting.
Yeah.
You can get different concepts. I remember I had this 50-30-20 split where it was 50% to my needs, 30% to my wants, and 20% to my savings.
Yeah.
And that's how I managed my money. I knew that for my wants, for 30%, I can have the best time of my life. My needs, 50%. That will include transport.
That system gets tricky because you're assuming that they have enough to save the 20% for. More often than not, the money that
you can push it to 10%. That's what I'm saying. Or there are more.
But also, my point is, bro, you can save the 20%.
You can.
You have to just understand that the lifestyle needs to be lowered.
Now, but you're earning 8K. You're earning 10K.
You're earning 8K, bro. Instead of getting McD's twice a week and
you don't have McD's money.
Okay, instead of getting that black label caught, you don't get it. Okay. You say.
Yeah, like it's even at 10%, we're not necessarily saying you can practice. No one is saying fix it to 20%. Because 20% is a big number for somebody who would be earning like 8K. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's like more than what?
It's 400 rand.
Yeah. So
that's not the maths.
No, that ain't right.
Sorry, it's 1.6.
You forgot to times by
two.
That was 1.6.
So my daddy said, nope.
No. Then like, I want to pass. And I'm like, Marafot Lipa.
No.
So like 5%.
Before you continue, I've always wanted to know, because I haven't asked you this.
Yeah.
I also don't know from your side. Let me start with you.
Yo.
On the spot.
What's your biggest financial mistake you've made thus far? What's the one thing you look back and you say, ah, fuck?
Every time I go to the club.
I don't believe that because you go to the club every other week.
No, my biggest financial mistake.
So far?
I don't think I ever live beyond my means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's maybe the biggest financial mistake is the way I would handle money. I'd leave, let me not say large sums. I'd leave my money in the bank account.
Yeah,
doing absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I get that.
Nah, that's me too.
Yeah.
But
money that I can have like a good 100 rand for the sake of.
And it's not privacy for you.
The 100 rand is chilling. I'm not even. I'm probably going to. It's there in giant. I won't probably touch it in June.
Yeah.
It's just fucking depreciating, bro. It's not losing its value, bro.
Inflation is clapping it.
It's hurting it.
Okay.
So that's my. That's, and it's still a big problem of mine now. Like, but in my mind, it's like, yo, I know that this money is going to double soon. And I'm going to get the thing I want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a thing of like, but also like, I shouldn't be getting the thing I want to get like that. It's very, that's my biggest,
yeah, that's my answer. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Your money's not working for you. You're losing value.
Yeah.
I think mine's a bit, it's a little smaller than that.
Is it?
Mine is more, I think I spend too much money in subscriptions.
Is it?
That's my financial.
This guy has Netflix.
No.
He's the only guy that has OnlyFans.
Do I?
Yeah. Did you see it? My daddy just told, I don't know how people are listening.
This man just put me in my thousands of people.
That Lucas has an OnlyFans account.
This is not factual. This is
no, but also OnlyFans. Also have OnlyFans. Because like, Booty I and them post some of their behind the scenes of the music videos on OnlyFans.
T.I.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm just going to make up something to save this
but
man.
But no. There's no need to save me because it sounded like an allegation. That didn't come from the horse's mouth. Anyway.
You still pay for your OnlyFans?
No.
You paid in dollars, my boy. You were excited.
Batari.
I'm going to need you to stop.
He's not going
to
let this one go.
I'm going to need you to stop.
Anyway. Back to what I was speaking on.
Yeah.
So I think I have too many subscriptions. Yeah. Like, and when I say subscriptions, I'm not talking... And when I use the word subscription... Understand, this is how I'm using it for things that I'm paying monthly, like continuously. Even something like a cell phone contract.
Your Rain. Like
my contract, my Wi-Fi. There's obviously certain things that I need, but then there's other things that I can really not have spent.
You can live without.
I can live without. I think I'm seeing the importance of cash flow, and what subscriptions take away from you is cash flow.
Yes.
You want to be cash flow positive.
Yeah, bro. Yes. That disposable income. Also, like, yo, guys. So we spoke about having money in the first year. You're living at home. You're buying Zara's perfume.
All of Zara.
Then you decide, okay, you know what? Home is cool, but I want my own space. And I'm going to leave these guys to speak about that. Because that is a big change. You go from earning, let's say you're earning 15. And you had 5K disposable. 10K expenses, variable and fixed. Now you want to move to an apartment.
Okay, let me tell you.
Let me switch off my mic. I feel like this one, it needs people with experience. I still live at home.
So. this is Lucas's mic. My mic now. Are we not professional?
Yo, be about it.
So.
Can I mention the savings thing first?
Wait.
That you need to have savings before you do that?
You need to
have savings.
You need to.
Too many big expenses.
The problem is that. Finding a number or a figure of how much you need at least 40K.
No. I would
40?
Not 40. 40 or what?
It's not even a joke.
It's not a joke.
Yeah. It's not a joke. Now, come to think of it, that was my 40K.
This couch here was 17. How much was this couch? 15.
15, 16.
Oh, nobody asked me about my biggest financial mistake.
Oh, it was this couch. Sorry, let's reverse.
This is it.
Let's reverse.
Are we sitting on your biggest financial mistake?
What is your biggest financial mistake?
I'm more inclined to be towards you.
Your biggest mistake on this podcast is not putting this mic by your lips.
Oh yeah.
Work on that.
I'm working on it. Mistakes. I haven't had mistakes that cost me money, fortunately.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I am not, my money's not well utilized. It's underutilized.
You did answer. You said the same thing as
you
me.
Said, you did answer. Yeah. I think
as soon as you said what you said, I was like that's exactly me.
I can't wait for us to have like people that have found ways to deal with problems like that. Like what you do with sitting money on the podcast.
What do I do with this extra 300, 400? How can I get a 50 for this 300?
Because I think we're setting up for other conversations that we can branch off into.
Yes.
Mm. But anyway, you were speaking.
You need a 40K.
I think you can
win. Name the name. So let's say you guys decided, because these guys are like, we're going to move together. Ooh, yeah, apartment hunting.
Yeah.
Then they're like, okay, cool. We've got an apartment. Go from there. Start with the application process. How was that like? Then move on to like...
I'm going to tell the story.
Shit. The mic is yours.
Money, ne? People always tell you money is not important. It is.
Very.
It's a status symbol. So anyway...
That is important.
We're doing viewings. So we... I think I was at... I was working at the time.
Yeah, you were working.
You were working at the time. Yeah. So meeting up was also a challenge. And real estate agents in South Africa just don't care.
Apart from my dad, you love them are terrible.
I care. We call you, we're setting appointments, you're not showing up, you're not answering your phone. We tell you that when you're sitting. Anyway, that's a different topic.
Yeah.
We go view, we don't like it, and then we eventually come here and we like it a lot. So we tell this homie that, this guy ends this match. We don't show if you barely qualify, whatever. Yeah. So this homie's like, nah, this is simple. When you apply, you can apply, the two of you, it doesn't have to be one person, two of you can apply. And then he's like, who is the stronger one here?
Yeah. Who's the big boy?
I've been getting the question because I'm like, are you doing heavy lifting or what? Like, sweet nigga, he says, hey, what are you, who's the stronger one? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, who has a higher cross? I'm like, that engineer. But that's when, that's the first thing. So we apply, we're a bit worried because we don't have a credit record. But fortunately, we had an employment contract. Asbonge. We did that at the time. There's another thing. I don't know if you know.
Mike.
I don't know if you know. But when I came here, I didn't afford to leave. The money that I was earning at the time was.
I think I convinced you that we could do it.
And now that I think back.
Oh, you couldn't afford to leave home.
Mother's house.
Didn't make sense. Okay. It was borderline impossible. But Mudimu, Asbonge. Next month they double the salary. So we apply and then, but you know, you're young, you have vigor. You think you'll do it.
Yeah.
And I also believe that sometimes you need to do it and see that you will do it.
That's the only way to find out.
We came here, first thing, we need a bed. How much is a bed? Go.
Yo,
go.
7,000.
7,000. You spent 7,000 on a bed.
I did, and all these guys hate it.
It's hard.
It's firm.
Okay, 7,000. That's two beds. Sorry.
Two beds.
7,000. And then you need a fridge, you need a microwave. How did that also another?
Fridge, 4K, 5K.
5K, that's 10.
Microwave, 2K. 17. Washing machine, 4K.
20. It adds up.
You understand?
It adds up.
Sofa, TV.
Headboard.
Sofa,
chair. Headboard. You know what it feels like buying a headboard? That is the weirdest thing.
I don't have a headboard.
Pedestals, bro.
Pedestals.
Bro, even these things.
Pedestals.
Pedestals.
Oh. I'm learning. Joe, I got here now because I started in the first month. I moved in alone. Matladi was still at home. He needed
I didn't have money.
He didn't have money for a bed and things like that.
Yeah.
So I moved in alone. It was the strangest feeling. I thought houses comes with teaspoons.
Though. Oh yeah.
I thought a house comes with, you know, that brush that was
that you clean
the toilet with. Yeah. I had to go buy that. I had to go buy a broom and a scoop. I had to go buy the matispoonu.
Mopo.
Broom.
Those are the things that always been there. Dustpan, dustbin.
Yo. But let me, the first thing that happens.
You must buy the plastics for the dustbin.
Bruh. That's why you need to have savings. You need to have a cushion that you can't use your salary because you're paying electricity, you are paying for all these little things and you can't take it out of your pocket to go buy a fridge, to go buy a bed
and avoid that credit thing. Hey, it seems like a good idea.
Because
you don't stop paying them or take that interest free
6 months interest free, but do it with a plan.
Do it with a plan. Fail with a plan.
Must always fail with a plan.
One thing, the first thing that happens after your first salary, once you live in that apartment wherever you live, your fixed expenses, it's ridiculous now.
Yeah.
Because now your rent is the craziest thing.
And a big amount.
Electricity.
Your car.
Wife.
Let's not go there.
I think one of the mistakes I did, I bought a car too early.
I did that.
I think I bought a car too early.
But
you had a car. That could have pushed you another 6 months.
He had a car. We made the same mistake. I also had a car.
You had a Yaris.
I had a Yaris.
And I was driving the Yaris.
Don't rush to go buy that BMW or that. Can I drop the names of your car? The Polo,
I got a Mazda 2.
The Mazda. Why are you saying 2? Now they're going to look for Mazda 2.
I love that baby. What an investment. but I enjoy that car. Even if it's a lot of money, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Chop life.
You work too hard, man.
Bro, my story is so different to your guys. Like, I haven't gone through this journey that you guys are going through.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is that, like, I'm not going to this year also because of you guys not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
So scary. So,
but then you get to live that through us.
Yeah.
You get to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
There's nothing as fulfilling as learning from someone else. Just do that.
Yeah. And I knew that, like, also, like, if I was in a situation, I know how to handle it. I'd probably do the same things you guys did, go through the same struggles, and then we would overcome. Because now these boys have a fully finished apartment. It's two nice cars parked outside.
I see the price.
Still getting there.
We get in there.
Okay.
We have kittens. We have eyelids.
Yo, 70. I can say it's 75% finished.
Yeah. Okay. Close.
Yeah. Like, all that's really missing is just like your guys' personal touches.
Coffee tables. A woman's touch. Like that. And a woman's touch. You're a jelly.
You guys could put like a dining room table. But anyway, that's not.
We're not.
I digress.
My story was so different. Like, I stayed at home for the first year of working.
Yeah.
So Lucas' first year of working was when I was still in my final year. So I stayed at home.
Both of you guys?
Both of us, yeah.
Yeah.
So Lucas' second year of working was our first year of working, which was last year.
Yeah.
And I got the whole YouTube black thing, and I was doing YouTube full time, staying from home. My only expense that I really had that was like crazy was like getting my car.
Yeah.
And
everything else is painful.
No. Getting a car is not easy, bro.
Nah. Oh, no.
It's
oh,
an application no. process.
No. Your first one is not easy.
It's scary.
Yeah. You have no credit record.
Even like choosing a 6-year investment, bro.
Yeah.
At the age of 23, 22, that's scary. 24. It's weird.
It's a loan. You understand you're taking 500,000 rand or whatever, 300,000.
7,000 rand bed, half a million car.
I don't know this guy.
I should have been an engineer.
Damn it. No. Relax.
Chose the wrong
field. I think I just spew figures.
I just drive a Suzuki.
Anyway, like that's cool. You're literally taking 300,000 from the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you owe it. You say, I'm going to try. Yeah. Pay every month.
Yeah. But another thing, get life insurance, hey?
Why?
Hmm?
For who? What? I don't have kids.
Okay, so you
for me personally.
You buy your Suzuki, no? God forbid.
Okay, no, I get you. Yeah, continue. No, I have to understand.
God forbid you pass away. You don't want to leave your credit behind to your homies.
Because when you die, whatever.
No, they just sell that stuff.
Hmm?
Bro, no.
If there's a shortfall.
Bro, you know, like when you die, you don't have a spouse. When you die, they check your estate.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, but I get what he's saying. Who does responsibility lie on to you? It can't go to your parents.
It's just you. They can't go to your parents.
Yeah, but then now the asset the family would have had, they don't have it anymore.
Oh, if you want to do that, then fine. Then you obviously the life insurance will help. The fallback will help with that.
Any if you're getting credit, if you now owe the bank 1 million rand, make sure that when you die, you can at least cover that 1 million.
Yeah. Especially if you have people that are dependent on you.
And don't be selfish, man. Make sure you get 2 million rand so that the people you live
with have a million. You know?
Yeah.
But they took away a breadwinner.
Yeah.
Don't leave a gap.
Wait, how much you... Nah.
Ask.
How much do you think people like when they pass? How much do you think like people's life cover is?
It depends.
Usually around half a million to 2 million.
If you have 4 kids, it clearly should be more. So you pay a little bit more every month.
Yeah,
yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
No, but get life insurance.
Scary.
And other insurances.
Yeah.
For insure everything.
Please do not play yourself in not insurance.
Insure your phone. I'm on to report. They stole my phone.
And you had to go spend how much? One.
Yeah. And how much is a phone?
Thousands. iPhone did
thousands. Cash.
Worse. You know what the worst situation is? You know what the worst is? When you buy a phone on contract, you lose it. And then now you have to pay for a contract you don't have.
And you don't have insurance.
For 2 years and you don't have insurance.
No, so now you're paying for. Did this happen to you?
No, never. I never lost a phone.
Hey,
and I have insurance all the time.
That's crazy. Hi guys, we didn't speak about credit this episode, but we spoke about a lot of things during university and after university. And we really appreciate your guys' feedback. So if you guys are listening on a podcast platform, please go to the reviews. Give us 5 stars. If you think we deserved 4, it's fine. Just press five. And then you can tell us why you would have given us 4 when you review.
You know?
Yeah. We hope it was informative. We try to make it very lighthearted, but at the same time, very educational. That's the purpose of this podcast, man, is to show you guys that like we can have fun, but always still learn as having fun.
True.
And we want you guys to understand you can relate with us because we are literally the person you see in the mirror. We're all the same. We're all family, all blood.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe. If you're not watching on YouTube, go watch on YouTube. Because that's the only way we're making money right now. It's from the YouTube ads. We love you guys so much. You guys can say your outros. Let me not hit the outro. Give you one.
Nah, it's not be.
That means we will see you at the front.
Yeah. Till next time.
Until next time.
Yeah, we love you guys. We don't know the sound effects yet. Oh, there we go.
Be sharp.
Yeah?
It's fine. Well, I'll get you a song to play afterwards.
Okay, cool. Screw. Cool. I love you.
You said I love you 10 times, eh?
He loves his people.
Yeah. Oh, one day when you have like a following, you understand. But only when you get to 100,000.
And on that bombshell.
And then you can understand. Shab, guys.
Shab.